This is Insight on Business, the news hour for Thursday, September 26. My name is Michael Libby. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Today, along with the top business stories of the day, the Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, and the agricultural report, we've got some interesting guests. First up, we'll visit with Michael Leo, who is right now up to his eyeballs in brats. Mike is the owner of the Strudel House of Des Moines and the food and beverage guy behind the German Fest going on this weekend. Then Dan Nannan from Silver Wings is in this half hour to talk about several projects he's working on that benefit the Des Moines metro community. DSM Living, for one. Next half hour, our studio guest is Adrian Lancer from Independent Energy, an Urbandale-based firm. We'll talk about biofuels and some interesting developments. In addition, we'll also have a marketing tip or two for your business. No matter the size, our goal is to not only share the business news of the metro, but also offer up some of our advice on advertising and marketing. We'll take a break for traffic and weather, then come right back with the business stories of the day. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Kramer Law Firm of West Des Moines, the Fireplace Superstore of Urbandale, and Remax Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro.
7.5 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. If you're just entering the freeway, take care of yourself out there. It's could be dangerous. I mean, lots of people get off at 5 o'clock, and we appreciate the fact that you're riding home with us, or that we're riding home with you. This is Insight on Business. You want to connect with us, you can do that on Twitter. It's IOB underscore NewsHour. That's IOB underscore NewsHour. The Riverfront YMCA is for sale. The 1.86-acre property along the Des Moines Riverfront is listed by CBRE Hubble Commercial for $5.5 million. The building, which was built in 1957, is situated in the heart of the Riverwalk District and is seen as prime property in the area redevelopment. It's likely, rather than renovating the building, that it will be demolished to make room for yet another building, which will become a focal point for the Riverwalk area. Last week, over 8,000 private investors were given a heads up that the property was for sale, and reports are that many are interested. The 56-year-old building is for sale because the YMCA of Greater Des Moines hopes to begin construction later this year on its new home at the former Polk County Convention Complex. The YMCA has raised more than 90% of the $30 million needed for the move to its new site, which will be called the Wellmark YMCA. A little-known fact about the Riverfront YMCA is that it's situated on land once occupied by the Des Moines Coliseum, a featured draw for celebrities and U.S. presidents from 1909 until it burned to the ground in 1949. Organizers of the World Food Prize have established a new award to be given annually to honor an Iowan who has provided significant leadership in confronting hunger. The award is named for former Iowa Governor Bob Rae, who led international efforts to rescue the so-called boat people and feed refugees from Southeast Asia. Rae attended a news conference today at the World Food Prize headquarters in Des Moines, where the Robert D. Rae Iowa Shares Award was unveiled. Today also happens to be Governor Rae's 85th birthday, and a group of his former aides, as well as former Southeast Asian refugees, serenaded him and posed for several photographs. World Food Prize President Ken Quinn, a former U.S. ambassador to Cambodia, said the recipient of the first Robert D. Rae Iowa Shares Award will be revealed on October 15. This may come as a surprise to many, but Halloween is one of the biggest consumer retail events in the United States, outperforming even Mother's Day. Consumers are expected to spend about $75.03 on Halloween-related items this year. That's down from $79.82 a year ago, according to the National Retail Federation's Halloween Spending Survey. About 158 million people said they will participate in Halloween festivities. That's down from 170 million last Halloween, the survey said. It's 11 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Michael Leo about the German Fest, about Oktoberfest, and about what he's doing with all those bratwursts. Michael Leo's coming up next. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Inside on Business, the News Hour, comes from Mr. B Clothing of Clive, the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola, and West Bank.
It's 13 minutes now past 5 o'clock. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. My name is Michael Libby. Thank you so very much for being along for the ride. We were just talking about Halloween, and so speaking of holidays, with us on our newsline is Michael Leo from the Strudel House of Des Moines. Michael's in charge of this weekend's German Food Fest and Oktoberfest and beverages and food, and he's up to his eyeballs in German food. Why was Michael chosen for this position? I think you'll be able to tell once he says hello. Michael, welcome to the News Hour.
Hello, good Nachmittag.
Yeah, well, good evening to you too, my friend. Hey, this is really exciting for you. How did you go from the Strudel House to making sure the food for the German Fest this weekend is authentic?
That's part of the old history for me going to the Oktoberfest, and actually Javi was catering it, and I really underappreciated what they actually was serving there, and since I'm very picky about what I eat and what I want to enjoy when you have an authentic festival, you also want to make sure that you have the authentic food on beer with it.
And I would suspect that nobody gets more authentic when it comes to German food than Michael Leo, eh?
No, it doesn't. I do it all my life. I started that in college as a 14-year-old boy in Austria, and I'm still doing it 30 years later.
Absolutely. And if Michael Leo's name sounds familiar, ladies and gentlemen, and if you do frequent the downtown farmers market or really any of the farmers markets, you've probably seen his Strudel House place there. He's best known for his Dutch letters, I think.
So, yes, we do the Des Moines Farmers Market right here and also in Ames and in Iowa City.
Yep, well, you're all over the place.
Yes, so, I'm everywhere.
Do you have like an army of helpers, Michael?
Yes, I have some people who work with me for many years. They're helping, and then, you know, friends and family. But it's about 20 people of us who are working on the Oktoberfest this year.
That's right. So give us a quick rundown of the weekend activities. Some start this evening, don't they?
Yes, I'm actually started already at lunch today at Capitol Square. Yeah. They had a $1 bratwurst lunch in there, and they will also have now this evening here a four-course German-Austrian dinner. They get like a goulash soup, European like salad with marinated different vegetables, and then I have a roasted pork with sauerkraut and bread dumpling, and the dessert will be a ricotta cheese strudel.
Wow. And that's today.
That's today, and then tomorrow at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the real festivity starts when you can come in here with beer and everything what you want to have. And it goes to 1 a.m. and there is served Wiener Schnitzel and also roasted pork, and comes also with the bratwurst was made by an Austrian butcher in Oklahoma.
And where is all of this going on at, Michael?
It's right there by Forsen Court down here, downtown by the Hessen House.
Yep, yep. Well, and they picked an authentic German restaurant to have it at.
Yes, and it's a good location. It's like, you know, after the farmer's market, you come, you just hang out a little bit, go shopping downtown, and then swing over to the Oktoberfest. Or tomorrow, right after work, when you're done working, it starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 4 o'clock, the entertainment starts. They have a golden keg and have free beer for a little while, and then the festivities start.
Yeah, what's a festival without a little free beer, right?
Yes, exactly.
Michael, thanks for taking a few moments.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for inviting us, and I hope we see you all guys tomorrow.
I hope to see you as well. Michael Leo, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much. Michael Leo, he is the Strudel House, and he is in charge of the food and beverages for the Oktoberfest, and things have been getting underway at noon today, and you heard him go, it goes all weekend long. Sounds like a great time. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dan Nannan from Silver Wings. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Inside on Business, the News Hour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Inside on Business. We've got 18 and a half minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. Just heading into traffic, are you? Well, we're glad that you've taken us along for the ride. You know, this is going to be kind of interesting because we're going to talk with Dan Nannan. Welcome him to the News Hour. Dan has a host of projects going on from his business. It's called Silver Wings here in the metro. We're glad you could carve out a little time, Dan, and be with us this afternoon to talk about not only DSM Living, but I got some other things I wanted to chat with you about. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the NewsHour.
Thank you, Michael. It's really good to be here.
Say, before we talk about a current project, things that you've got going on, I want to visit with you a little bit about video. Our advertising agency consistently tells our clients that it's a real deal maker if you incorporate video on your website.
Oh, absolutely.
That you have some way to better explain and to capture the attention of the viewer, of the consumer. And what's really cool is many of our clients are, right, Michael, you're just trying to talk us into doing something else. I said, no, really. But now there's definitive proof. There was a recent survey that was done that says conversion rate nearly doubles when video is used to explain goods and services. You agree?
Mm-hmm. I agree completely.
Tell me about why would that be?
Well, because it's more interactive than just looking at pictures or reading. You've got the visual and the audio, and you can actually explain the product or the service or what you're doing.
And allow the consumer at least to glimpse how the thing works or what it does.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so important for businesses to understand that you can increase the conversion rate. When that means is you take a looker from a looker to a buyer in a much more a much faster way, and it just plain works, for crying out loud. Now, we've done at our place, we've done hundreds of product videos and business videos, and so let's see if we're in sync with thinking, and I bet we are. We haven't even rehearsed this, ladies and gentlemen. What makes a dynamic business video or a television ad? What do you think really starts to set that apart?
Well, I think first of all, it's getting something dynamic that you want to visually see right away. And then it's just a good product and, a good script and just to really tell what.
So you just can't go shoot it.
You just can't go shoot it. No, you just can't set up and set the camera up and go, okay, let's do something.
Yeah, I so agree with you, Dan. Dan Annan, ladies and gentlemen, from Silver Wings is our guest in studio today. We're talking about videos and television commercials and business explainer videos. You know, I always tell people that a lot of the cost of doing any of these things really comes from the pre-planning. You've got to write a decent script. You've got to be able to showcase the product in correct lighting. I mean, I know, and you do too. Sometimes when we go out on a product shoot or something like that, it takes longer to light the product or the subject than what it does to actually shoot the 10 seconds of video.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We end up doing that all the time.
Yeah.
Your lighting can take 2 hours and your shot's going to take 15 seconds.
Yeah. So it is important. I mean, and the difference is noticeable too. When you do high quality video for people and for businesses, they get that extra because it looks good. And people react to that. I mean, we don't have black and white television sets anymore for good reason, because people gravitate to some of this high end video work, and it does work. So if you're in business and you're thinking you're going to get by with your flip cam, I got to tell you, it's just probably not going to work for the long run. All right, so let's talk about we'll skip the business. We're talking shop here. let's talk about one of your latest projects, this DSM Living. What is all this about?
Sure. DSM Living is first a television show, mm-hmm. and we started that about 2 years ago. It's been going great. We go on location.
Right.
There's no studio. We're always on location wherever we're at. We've got a total of four hosts now that go out and talk with people and find out great things all about Des Moines.
And then this has also morphed a little bit, hasn't it?
It has. I wanted to get into digital publishing.
Nice.
And I really think that's going to be the future for magazines and such, digital publishing. And so in July, we launched our first digital magazine for DSM Living.
And that whole process, creating a magazine that complements the television show, gets to be pretty involved, doesn't it, with the graphics?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about the digital magazine mm-hmm. is that you can incorporate, as we were talking about, video on the website. Okay, there's video in the magazine. The magazine talks to you. The pictures move. And you can hear, we did an article on a local musician, and played a sample of his songs.
It's in the magazine. Yeah. Digital publications, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about DSM Living Magazine with Dan Nannan from Silver Wings. How do people access DSM Living, the magazine?
It's easy. It's available for the iPad, the iPhone, and Android tablets. So just go to the App Store, search for DSM Living. It'll pop right up, and you can install it on your iPad or your iPhone or your Android tablet, Google Play on tablets.
How often do you publish it?
Once a month, every month.
There October, you go. It's a monthly piece.
Just about ready to launch October, yep.
Now, when you're talking about DSM, either the television show or the magazine, I wanted to spend some time on the magazine because I think this is a brilliant move. What do you feel your target audience is with that?
The magazine?
Mm-hmm.
The magazine will, we think, really hit a little bit younger audience just because they're the ones that are walking around with their smartphones right away. So that's pretty much, we're thinking it's also going to hit women just because we're
sure,
focused
I would
a little
imagine,
bit more on
that. I would imagine that the demographic is probably highly placed toward females and taking a look at the younger demographics as well. We're talking with Dan Nannan, ladies and gentlemen, from DSM Living Magazine. Now, we suspect that DSM Living Magazine, as well as the television show, are paid through with advertising.
Would correct.
That be correct?
Okay. Yes.
So other than, and I'm thinking that maybe I'm correct on this, I don't know, but other than placing ads in DSM Living the Magazine, do those ads also provide data, clickable data, to your advertisers?
Yes, absolutely.
See, that becomes the real ROI of this because your advertisers can now learn, okay, how many people actually interacted with my ad or what did they do? Did they go to my website? Did they view my video? Did they somehow do something? Was there a call of enough to action so that they actually did something by looking at the digital magazine? I think it's brilliant because you can go back to your advertisers and say, hey, look, this is what's going on.
Right, yeah. So we can pull up exactly how many views you had, how many times the page has been displayed. If there's video associated with it, we can tell how many times the video has been played. It's just great.
And how that differs so much, ladies and gentlemen, with traditional advertising. In traditional advertising, you put an ad out there on the radio, television, newspaper, whatever it happens to be, and you don't know, maybe somebody will say, oh, I saw your ad. But the interaction of that, causing somebody to actually do something, you sometimes just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And off you go.
Yeah. And since we've launched in July, I just pulled some numbers recently, and through July, we've had what they call content views, over 40,000 content views.
See? And that's got to make you feel good. Because I know when we do this show, Insight on Business, when we're doing the broadcast, we don't really know how many people we're talking to or with or enjoying. But it's really nice when those people come up and say, hey, I learned something from Insight on Business the other day. Oh, I didn't know that from you. And that gives you hope that something's catching on. And I get it completely. And that's a great number since July as well. Dan Nannan has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about video for business. If you've got that kind of a thing, you really need to pay attention to that because it is something that will help you turn people from just being lookers at your website and convert them into some type of action, as long as it's well done. And we also talked about DSM Living, not only the TV show, but also the new digital magazine. Thanks for coming in, Dan.
Thank you, Michael.
Dan Nannan, ladies and gentlemen. Silver Wings is the business. He is out in one of the western suburbs, but you can find him online. And the name of the website, though, is different. It's
movingvideo.com.
Movingvideo.com. How long have you had that URL?
Since probably 1998.
Yeah, I was going to say that. it sounds like an older generation of a URL. Movingvideo.com. We're going to take a break, and listen in to the Wall Street Journal report, then come back with stocks of local interest, traffic, weather, and then the report from agriculture. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Support for Inside on Business, the News Hour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
23 minutes now before the top of the hour. Top of the hour, CBS Evening News. We go news stories to news stories. This is Inside on Business, the News Hour. My name is Michael Libby, and we're glad you're here with us. In just a moment, we'll visit with Adrian Lancer about biotech fuels and independence energy. If you got a question or a comment, you can head to Twitter and we'll be watching our screen. Just shoot us your question for our Twitter feed is IOB_NewsHour. That's at IOB_NewsHour. You know, biofuels is a big deal for Iowa and the rest of the nation, quite frankly. We suspect that you didn't know that tucked in Urbandale is a business in the middle of the biofuels revolution. Adrian Lancer is the CEO of Independence Energy, and he's in studio to tell us about his business. Welcome to the News Hour, Adrian. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate coming in.
No, this is good stuff because, as we were talking off microphone, the biofuels industry has been a huge boost for Iowa.
Well, it certainly has. The number, you just read the crop report. I mean, right. the amount of yield that comes out of the fields in Iowa is just stunning worldwide, frankly.
Yeah, it is. And the prices have been driven by the biofuels trade.
Much of it. It's all in the commodity stream, and that tends to track, have parallel tracks.
Now, this is tell us a little bit about Independence Energy, because while we were talking about corn-based ethanol, you've got a different take on all this.
Well, this is biodiesel emanating from soybeans. Now, that has been with us for some period of time. And there have been some hiccups in that industry, basically because of the price drivers. The cost of the soybean oil rose steadily over the last decade or so.
It's pretty high.
That's correct. Our business is essentially aimed at value-added ag on a local basis. We want local growers to engage in the process without having to give up time from their own farming operations.
And how do you do that?
We franchise the operation. We're in the process of putting the final configuration on that particular model and getting square with the legal documentation.
Sure.
And so forth. What we do is we present it to the growers. They buy into their own operation. We'll manage it, run it, sales, marketing, branding, certification, permitting, so that the grower doesn't have to pay attention to his own business in the sense that he doesn't have the day-to-day responsibility. We do that for the franchisee.
Sure. So the idea is the farmer, the grower, does what they do best, and you come in and do what you do.
That's right, and we add value to their beans as it comes out because it doesn't have to travel off to some central location to get processed. It doesn't have to be handled by several handling points, and all of the profit that's taken out from the travel from field to tank or trough.
Sure. So how did all this come to be? Why Independence Energy? What you're bringing this new model in? Why?
We felt as if there was some pent-up demand out there on behalf of the growers looking for a local option for their field yield so that they didn't just see it come out of the field and just leap into the commodity stream, that they would actually be able to participate in the process. Now, trying to do the process, in other words, the crush and the biodiesel Sure. processing on their own operations is a challenge because they've got to break themselves away from what they do best to pay attention to the crush of the soybean and then the process into biodiesel. If they could drive within their county to their plant and have it processed at their plant, It makes sense that they would take the profit from the process itself, selling the finished good into the commodity stream as opposed to the raw material.
And will this have an effect? Do you base this as having an effect on the price of biodiesel?
I don't think it'll ever have an effect on the price of the biodiesel. I think what it does is it takes the profit that otherwise is taken by other
Sure.
people in the supply chain as the bean goes from field to tank or trough, and it keeps that profit at home in the hands of the grower.
When you're visiting with growers about this, is it difficult for them to grasp the concept, or they get it right away?
I think they seem to get it. Initially, they've been in the commodity stream for Sure. so long, they're so accustomed to carting their beans off to market that the whole notion of keeping it in their own process facility is somewhat new to them. Now, not unprecedented, because there's some history in Iowa of growers actually banding together and putting up rather large production mm-hmm. facilities. Our technology, we're blessed with technology that allows us to really produce at a local level.
How local?
Well, it takes, our footprint is about 5,000 to 7,000 square foot building, about 10,000 plus acres, bean acres, to support one facility.
Wow. And with the increase in bean acres here in Iowa, it's not very difficult to find folks that are doing 10,000 acres.
No. And we're fond of analogizing what we do to, I don't mean to, we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but it's analogous to the revolution that occurred in the IT industry over the past several decades, when we went from mainframe data analysis and, sure. and long-distance processing to 12 to 16 to 32 gigabytes in your shirt pocket. Yeah.
And isn't that amazing when we stop and think about it? So this is analogous to that in the fact that you're bringing those processing facilities to such a local level.
That's correct.
That the farmer can go ahead and do it. And
that's correct. Yeah. Without actually having to pay attention to the store.
Sure,
we do that.
What are the downsides? I mean, everything's got a downside to it. Are there any downsides that you've been able to scrape through? And of course, you may not be even willing to tell me, but what do you think? What have been some of the hurdles to overcome?
Well, the only hurdle to overcome is to convince the grower that this is, in fact, an option for his field yield. That's really the most significant hurdle to overcome. And we believe that as our story unfolds, as we begin to develop more and more sites, that there be the credibility platform will be laid.
Absolutely.
And we'll have no problem talking to the growers from there on in.
We've worked in the agricultural space for decades, and we get it that it's oftentimes the farmer is very difficult to make change. And that could be, I think, the very biggest hurdle.
Well, I'm fond of saying this, is that there's good news and bad news about growers. The bad news is it's really hard to change their minds. The good news is it's really hard to change their minds. So once they set into our program, we believe that they'll stay with us for a long, long time. And we think that the other growers will see it in other communities and want the same franchise opportunity set down in their community.
Now, one of the things when we're talking about biodiesel is how do we increase the utilization of biodiesel so that it's more available to individuals? Where does that go?
Grow it and process it. Now, there are challenges with it. There is the ongoing food versus fuel debate.
Right.
There are certain industries out there that are using reclaimed cooking oil.
Sure.
for biodiesel. We don't see our particular segment of this industry as getting in the way of food versus fuel. There's also one beyond beans. There are oilseed opportunities out in the Pacific Northwest and the Northern Tier, and we'd like to think that eventually we'll be able to go into those opportunities. And those are rotational crops, which actually enhance
it would,
food.
Wouldn't it? Absolutely.
The oilseed crops grown in rotation are a boon to wheat. It increases the wheat yield. So we think that overall, as this produce local concept unfolds, as Independence Energy tends to grow, that we will actually contribute to more food production through the rotational benefits of the crop.
Adrian Lanzer, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Independence Energy, almost a farm-to-fuel opportunity that stays hyper-local. I think it's a great idea, you know, and it's something that once you get traction with a number of people, that should help. To this point, how have you been marketing Independence Energy?
Personal contact.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Knocking on those doors.
Have to be out face-to-face with the communities, with the growers, and have to shake hands to convince them that we know what we're talking about. We know what we're talking about, but they want to see they want to see your face. They want to hear what you have to say. It's got to be a personal contact.
Yeah, that's another truism about agriculture, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We still do business with people.
Absolutely.
Big time. Adrian Lanzer, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. We're talking about Independence Energy based in Urbandale, and who in the heck knew that such a thing was going on in Urbandale. You know, one of the things about Urbandale, they say that it's uniquely Urbandale. That's the tagline for the city. And here's another unique experience. Adrian Lancer, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much for coming in and doing this.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Our pleasure, sir. When we come back, more news from the Metro. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. Garden Fresh Foods is expanding a voluntary recall on various ready-to-eat salads, slaw, and dip products sold under various brands. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration said the products may be contaminated with Listeria myosinogens, an organism that causes serious and sometimes fatal infections in young children, frail, or elderly. I would start to tell you all of the names of the products, but the list is extremely long. But I did see names like Market Pantry and Archer Farms, both trade names of Target, listed. To view the list, go to FDA.gov and click on Safety Recalls. Thanks so very much for being with us. This has been Insight on Business, the NewsHour. We're here each and every day, Monday through Friday, talking about agriculture. We're talking about the news and business news of the Des Moines Metro. And we're grateful that you're along for the ride. If you got a news story, send it to us. It's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is iob_newshour. You can communicate with us before, during, and after each broadcast. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the NewsHour, have yourself a nice evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all,